Welcome back to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. I'm Pam Spencer along with Darren Schulman and Gage Telez, and we're going to talk lots and lots of hockey today. And of course, we have some wins for the team, the Columbus Blue Jackets. So we're going to focus on that for a while. And I have an injury report here. And then a little bit later in the show, I like to tell you how the OSU men's and women's hockey teams are doing. The women have a big weekend as well as the men. They're both in town. Of course, the women play at the OSU ice rink and the men play at the Shot, which is Value City Arena when it's set up as a hockey arena, and some high school updates as well. So we'll get to that in a few minutes, but we usually start the show with Darren basically quizzing us on a rule. We call it hockey for beginners and hockey for fans of the game, big fans of the game, because there seem to be some rules where they only go into play once or twice a season sometimes, or it may be a rule that applies to a recent game and that sort of thing. So Darren, let us know where we're headed with this one.
Well, I will first tell you that you got A pluses last week and I'm proud of you and I support you, but I have to make it a little harder this week.
Oh,
So I don't know if you're gonna know this one. This is an obscure rule, but it's a relatively minor rule change for this year.
Okay.
That I think is worth discussing. All right. So, I guess I'll start from the big picture to give you a chance to warm up here. When you're doing a line change, where are the dudes who are coming on the ice supposed to be? Like, how does that work? Just generally, Pam, like, what do you think? You know, the guys are coming to skip off and the other guys are ready to come on.
They're allowed to be barely on the ice within 2 feet of the bench, is my old understanding. They can't be any farther than 2 feet on the ice away from that bench board.
Yeah, okay. So, Gage, what do you think before I answer the question with more questions?
I'd have to agree. At least 10 feet away, probably. I don't know. That's probably too far away. But at least in the other opponent's zone is what I thought. But I'm definitely wrong.
No, when the other guys are coming off the ice, where are the new guys allowed to be?
I have no idea.
So I'm going to give Pam A for effort, because what you said is correct. That's about when they're literally skating on and the other guys are skating off. You'll notice there are guys who are both on the ice at the same time.
Yes.
So technically you'd think that would be too many men. It has to do with not being involved in the play or anything like that.
Okay.
This rule change is sort of a weird quirk of that, which is before that comes to play, when they are on that ice, they used to kind of sit on the boards and kind of wait and launch themselves off. I'm assuming you've seen that in your years of hockey, Pam.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, apparently last year, a ref got cut by these skates of the dudes kind of sitting on the boards.
I remember that.
So do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So under this new rule, it's rule 75.2, apparently. They are not allowed to sit on the boards they can sit on the boards anticipating the change, but the skates have to remain on the bench side.
Right.
So you can kind of sit with your back kind of facing the ice, but you can't swing your legs over ready to jump on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it got cut. And if you do it, this is your chance to get an A, a legit A. What happens if you do put your skates on the ice side while you're sitting on the boards?
Oh, that's a good question. Is that a penalty?
Yeah, wouldn't that be a 2-minute minor?
Maybe.
For too many men on the ice?
Well, you're close. I'm going to give you a solid B plus. It is a 2-minute minor.
Mm-hmm.
The penalty is actually unsportsmanlike conduct.
Wow.
Interesting.
I'm not sure why they call it. I guess it's because you're not technically on the ice, but you're doing something that's not cool.
Okay.
So it's unsportsmanlike conduct if you're sitting on the bench with your sitting on the boards with your skates on the ice
on the
side.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching a hockey game, it's fun to kind of, I like to watch the little things, like we did face-offs, you know, like what's going on there. This is a good one to watch, like, okay, when exactly are they coming on and when exactly are they coming off and where are their skates?
Right. No, I didn't realize that there was I didn't think about the big change. I remember hearing about the ref being sliced, and that's something obviously that they have to be very careful of.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why they would make a change like that. And so are they, then my next question, if you can answer this, are they allowed to step out of the doorway there and actually be right along the board waiting to be allowed to come into the ice? Because there used
That's
to be
a great question.
Well, it used to be a 2-foot rule That's what I remember from we'll say several years ago. They could not be beyond 24 inches from the board in front of the bench. They had to be standing right there until the person they were replacing was coming for the door, and then they would start to step in and that person would step out.
That I think is still in effect. I don't know if you could enter through the door. I have always wondered, like, and maybe it's just because you can't play with a leg injury, but if someone's leg kind of hurts, like, how hard is it to leap? You see them leaping over that board. Like, that's got to be hard. So I guess, but I've never seen someone step out at the little door. I've seen people go in the door.
Right. Yeah, the ones that are coming off the ice to take a break, they're the ones going through the door of the board. And the other players used to be able to just stand right there. So if their skates were on the ice, this will be something you can look at for next week. If their skates are on the ice, then no one is in jeopardy of being sliced. So
yeah,
I wonder
this is all about sitting on the boards. Next week I will do the rule. Just we did it, I think, a couple years ago. Yeah. I'll do that rule exactly. So you might want to study up, guys.
Okay.
Homework.
All right.
Where your position is when you're on the ice and who's coming off and who's coming on. We'll do that next week. So
let's
you
look into
know
that.
What to research.
Right. Yep. Let's look into that because I just remember the 2 foot thing. So, alrighty, guys.
And you can't also, like, if you're coming off, and this is a spoiler for next week, you can't then say, "Oh, the puck's right here. I'm going to play it." Like that's when there's a penalty. Like you're trying to come off.
That's right.
You still play. So,
that's correct.
So anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that 2 foot area was kind of like the no man's zone back in the day. So yeah. So let's look at. Before we look at the games, let me touch on the injured reserve list at this point. We lost Monahan. It sounds like the latest information that I heard, maybe 3 weeks. They didn't specify, but I think it's maybe a hand wrist injury from where he crashed into the boards head first. We're lucky he did not end up in concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm. He's been so good too. That's really unfortunate.
I know. Yeah. But he had a wrist brace on at the end of that game. And, of course, Letang, no penalty. But again, what I read recently, like in the last day or so, was it's probably about a 3 week injury is what the coach is saying. And then of course, Danforth is still out with lower body, Gudbranson with shoulder, Chinnikov with upper body, and Boone Jenner, they're estimating March from his shoulder surgery. So the potential exists. Just throwing this out there, that if Boone can finish up his shoulder surgery rehab, and he's already skating on the ice to stay up to speed with his legs, if we end up really and truly going to the playoffs, which right now we have a playoff team.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. If we end up going to the playoffs, the potential exists that we could get Boone Jenner back. Woohoo!
That would be great.
And one complaint about the game the other night, Olivia was speared by Crosby, and another example of a Penguins player with no penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. But anyway, keep your fingers crossed for Boone Jenner.
Yeah, and of course, you know, like you mentioned, losing Sean Monahan on this huge momentum that we have right now was definitely not great. But, you know, hey, we won last night, so that's good. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
Well, we really
won a few games, sir.
Yeah, I was going to say, we really shouldn't talk about last night because people are going to be listening to the show for multiple days, you know, after we post it. But let's start back with the St. Louis win of 6-4. That was a great game.
Yep.
And then we have the Pittsburgh game that I was referencing, beat that one in a shootout, and the Seattle Kraken game that he's referencing because we are recording this on Friday. That was a huge win, another 6-2. So go ahead, jump in any of these games.
I do want to rewind.
I was at the St. Louis game. Were you there, Gage?
I was not, unfortunately.
That game was nuts because we were up 2-0 going into the third period, and it was just kind of a lazy, great defensive game. And then they both just went crazy, and it was 10 goals scored in the final period.
Yeah, I know.
It made no sense. I thought we were going to lose, and I was like, what is going on here?
Right.
I was like, Elvis, is your guy doing it? And I was like, oh, wait, this is not looking too good all of a sudden.
I know.
Yeah. It's like,
that was an exciting game.
It's like that third period, you know, run out of steam is what I thought was going to happen, because I was watching that one on TV. I was unable to make it to that one. But, yeah, definitely it was a wild third period. But also, I want to zoom ahead to that Penguins game that you mentioned, you know, with the unfortunate should have been a boarding call against Olivier and, of course, Sean Monahan. But I want to mention, this is kind of another stab in the face for Pittsburgh. The Blue Jackets, and I didn't know this until now, the Blue Jackets have not won a game in Pittsburgh since 2015. And that streak has been snapped. On the 7th, Blue Jackets beat Penguins 4-3 in the final shootout. And that's crazy. The Jackets have never beat the Penguins at Pittsburgh since 2015.
On their ice.
We're in their division, so we played them a ton of times.
And a ton of times at their barn. So, you know, we play them again at Pittsburgh one more time, I think in March, and I'm going to try to go to that game. That'll be my first Blue Jackets away game. I'm looking forward to it. But we'll see what happens. But I can't believe we've never beat Pittsburgh in that
long. Well, you have to put this in perspective that we've had quite a few years here since 2019 when we went to the playoffs and made the second round. And, of course, those of us that are longtime fans were just so excited about that year. It's too bad we couldn't make it all the way, but we didn't. But it was still an exciting year. And since then, it's just been kind of... I mean, we've had several years in a row where the team has been very lackadaisical. We have had coach after coach and whatnot. So I'm not surprised by that information. But just remember, you know, we bumped them out of the playoffs in that year. So and the other thing to consider is that the Penguins go to the playoffs nearly every year.
They've been really good.
Yes, they've been very good for many years. So I guess that, and I'm not trying to make excuses for it, I'm just saying that there are examples of why. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the Penguins did not make it last year, and possibly the year before. Is it 3 years?
It's been at least two.
Two. Could be a third year in a row.
Maybe.
If we bump them out far enough that we go, we get to slide into the playoff spot, which we're in right now.
Yeah, as I say, like if the playoffs were to start today,
that's right,
we bumped Pittsburgh out, because right now they're sitting at 18-17 and 8 with 44 points. We are slightly above them. We are tied with points, but we are at 19-17 and 6 with 44 points. And of course, the Hurricanes are way up there, 52 points, 25-15 and 2.
I'm not seeing us catching up with the Canes or the Capitals. But the fact that there is a possibility that we could make the playoffs when this is all said and done in April, we'll have to see. But the potential exists. And it's even, to me, it's even more important that if we make the playoffs and the Penguins don't, that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. And I want to mention, in last place in our division, the New York Islanders, right? They actually, and get this, the Golden Knights are number one in the Pacific Conference right now. The Islanders shut them out 4-0.
That's amazing.
And the only reason I'm bringing this up, and I know we were talking about CBJ, the only reason I bring this up is because the Islanders are in our division, and they're in last place, and holy smokes, they came out of nowhere and just whipped the Golden Knights right out.
But see, that's an example of you never know from one night to the next, because what that tells me is that they didn't, that the Golden Knights didn't take them seriously. And they probably had their backup goalie in, maybe some of their backup players, and there you go.
At their home arena, too.
That's why it's so amazing we haven't won since 2015. You'd think there'd be one night like that.
It's true.
They didn't pay attention.
I know.
They went out the night before. It's such a crazy streak.
It is.
I do want to say, guys, I owe you, I'm not going to say an apology, that's the wrong word, but we had preseason predictions, and I said I'd love to be wrong. I don't think they're going to make it. And I would love nothing more than to say I was wrong. You guys were right. I have been very impressed. I told you we need to go on a couple runs. Beating St. Louis, which is a not great team, is a step we need to do. We need to win those games. So I hope I'm wrong. I would love to sneak into the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
And I will tell you guys, you are smarter than me.
I don't think that's it at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, I think we just both have a different perspective on it. And you know, we've been doing this show a long time, and the guys always made fun of my rose-colored glasses. And it's really not that I have rose-colored glasses. It's just that I'm trying to, in this example this year especially, the fact that Johnny Gaudreau's equipment and his jersey is hanging in that locker room is right there incentive enough to keep the guys going.
Yeah.
And to basically work hard at practice and to do the very best that they can each night. And we have, you know, a new manager and a new coach this year. So I'm so excited that they've had this opportunity to move in it. We'll just say they're moving in a different direction. Whether mm-hmm. we make the playoffs or not, at least we're not stalled anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not stuck like trying to fight for the lower spot in our division. That doesn't mean anything when it comes to the playoffs.
Right.
Like, we're actually fighting for just the edge.
That's right.
And you're right. I mean, we need to keep winning in order to keep staying in there. Now, I know you said it may not be possible to catch up to the Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Here's my possibility, right? Mm-hmm. This is a very long shot mid-season prediction.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is going to be good.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Clarification.
Watching this team.
Yeah.
Okay. I really do think. And keep in mind, the Hurricanes actually lost a couple of games last week.
They don't do that very often, Gage.
Yeah, but hey, if we keep winning and they keep losing, there's a chance.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the Devils.
Talk about right. He's got my rose-colored glasses on. Yes, I know.
But the Devils, they lost as well. They're in second place. So
are you saying that we might pass the Hurricanes and just for that third spot, or are you saying
in a couple months? In the third spot, I think we might pass them if the Hurricanes have a challenging schedule, and if they lose all of those and we keep winning, maybe in like March or maybe very end of the season, we might just get there. But again, we have to keep this streak going.
The other part of the whole hockey puzzle every year is whether they end up with more on the injured reserve than us. Think about that too.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, looking at Olivier being speared by Crosby and nobody noticed, and he's doubled over on all fours on the ice. The trainers come out to check on him. You can tell that he lost his breath, and I was scared to death that we were going to lose him. He ended up being okay. Thank you.
And then he played later that?
He did. Yeah. He continued to play. Monahan, I was a little worried about concussion protocol. I didn't know what we were facing there. So you never know from one night to the next as far as the seriousness of an injury. And then the wrist injury with Monahan, that's looking a little too much like what happened to Dubinsky.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Are we allowed to say his name yet?
I'm saying his name because he's one of my favorite players of all time, and it still breaks my heart that man could not get rehabbed enough to come back to the game. I'm sure mm-hmm. it breaks his too. Mm-hmm. So you never know. What doesn't look serious. Those two looked extremely serious to me watching that game. Okay. It could be a whole nother injury that doesn't look serious that takes someone out. I mean, we lost Boone, in the third game of the season this year?
No, we lost Boone before the season started.
It was in practice, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got hurt in it was either practice or a preseason game. I'm pretty sure it was practice.
Is that what it was?
All right. But we didn't even start the season. I mean,
you don't know about injuries. That's the thing.
And that's the thing, you know, Jenner got hurt at the mm-hmm. second half of last season, and then he was out. And then, of course, really looking forward to this year. He had all summer to recover, and here we go again. Right. Gosh, I feel bad for him.
Okay, so let's
Gage, I have to say this about his prediction. Uh-huh. It's kind of crazy, but it's not 100% crazy because we're 8 points behind. But remember, it's 2 points per game, and if you steal 1 point in an overtime or shootout mm-hmm. loss, I wouldn't bet any money on it.
Right.
But yeah. I'm not going to make fun of Gage. Mm-hmm. It could happen.
It's not impossible.
it's not impossible.
It's the halfway point of the season, yeah. so it's not impossible.
It's a long shot.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy. It's just not likely. How's that?
Right.
Yeah. Not likely, but I think it is possible. Mm-hmm. We could put it that way. But, you know, like Pam said, we got to have strong players. And, speaking of strong players, I do want to go into the goalie situation here for just a second, because you mentioned that so it appears that Tarasov is going back to the AHL.
Yeah, that was announced about 15 minutes before we started recording. So this is Friday midday. The Monsters posted an update on social media that they've called Jet Greaves down to the Blue Jackets and that they're sending Owen Sillinger and Daniil Tarasov up. And it says specifically that Tarasov is on loan. It's designated as a conditioning assignment. Now, here's the thing. That's all it says.
Okay.
He had denied that a week ago.
Yeah, that's what we talked about last week.
So you and I talked off the air before we started rolling here about the fact that maybe somebody pulled Tarasov aside and said, look, we're in the playoffs right at this moment in time. Think about that. Nobody would have said we could do that a month ago or 2 months ago. And
when the
whole
initial negotiations happened probably.
And, and we are right now in that spot. So the question is, do you want to be the backup goalie or do you want Jet to be the backup goalie? And then I pointed out to Gage, we're allowed to run three goalies if we make the playoffs. Remember, we can pull Jet down and keep Tarasov and have Elvis. So he has to get his act together.
Yes.
And if they're not going to play him, the only place he can get that experience is Cleveland.
Well, and he needs more ice time. You know, this is what we mentioned on last week's episode, that Tarasov just does not have enough ice time. And there could be a billion reasons why, but the games that he's been in, he has not performed at all like he did last season.
Right.
And I really, really strongly urge that he gets some ice time up in Cleveland. Sure, for him, it may sound like a downgrade. It may sound like, oh, I'm not good anymore. But you know what? If you get back on the ice, get some games under your belt, you might get back to where we were. And then, like I was saying before, I'm not wishing Tarasov goes away and stays away. I want him to be on this team.
Right.
Because remember what he did at the end of last season when Elvis got hurt for a season-ending injury. Tarasov stepped in, and boy, did he step in good. And look what he did, you know? Of course, it's been all summer since that occurred. Yeah, but it is kind of surprising and contradicting to what he denied just last week when we were talking about this.
Yeah,
but like you said, I think somebody in management really just kind of stepped in.
I'm thinking somebody pulled him aside and said, we need to do this.
Right. Darren, what do you think?
When you think of the word conditioning assignment, that's usually what you do when you're like coming off injury and you got to get your legs back under you. Like if Boone gets better, they might send him on a couple games conditioning assignment so he's not demoted.
Okay,
they're getting his legs back.
But I don't think they would do that with Boone Jenner.
No.
He has a full NHL contract.
Yeah.
No, I mean they might not, but like but conditioning means like you're getting your experience back in. You know, we want you to get some game time and get some hits in before you've hit NHL action. I guess in the hockey case it's because you're just not getting enough reps as a goalie and we want to make sure you are quote conditioned, but it's unusual use of that. I have to say, you kind of freaked me out when you said Sillinger went down. I was like, is Cole Sillinger went down?
No, Owen.
It's his brother.
No. That's why I say both names every time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a brother.
Owen Sillinger. I didn't realize I just hadn't paid attention to him, but it's that's Cole's brother. Did you know that?
So, yeah, it is. I want to move on to the Seattle Kraken game very quickly.
Yes.
Another 6-2 victory. I want to point out that's two games in a week where we had six goals in the net. And think about this. The first four goals of that night were against Grubauer. Grubauer has a friggin' ring from the Avalanche. And I know he was hurt last year, and of course the announcer pointed out when they pulled him after four goals against him by the Blue Jackets. And I'm thinking, okay, even if he was hurt last year, that's not what's going on here.
Right.
He's kind of washed. He's been having a bad year.
You really think? All right.
Grubauer? Yeah.
All right. Well, I used to be
Seattle's
a big fan.
Really bad.
Yeah.
They're really bad.
So yeah. Seattle right now in the in their division right now, they're second to last, sitting at 17-22-3 with only 37 points. And just above them is the Anaheim Ducks. They're at 17-19-5, but the Anaheim Ducks are up 39, so they're up by 2 points. And then after that, it's the Flames at 45. So, you know, the Kraken is really,
I'm
really
just surprised
because
I've always been a fan of Grubauer's, and I got I actually got to see him play. The one away game that I've been to was at the Colorado Avalanche, and that was happened to be the year they went to the Stanley Cup. So that was perfect timing, right?
There you go.
So let's take a little bit of a break here, guys. I want to talk about OSU men's and women's hockey. High school hockey, of course, is well underway. So let's take a minute to talk about that, and we'll wrap up the show. OSU men are 14-5-1, and they are 11th. Remember, they were 15th just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So they're moving their way up. They are 11th right now in the NCAA, and they are at home this weekend, Value City Arena, 5 p.m. Friday, 6:30 Saturday, taking on Minnesota. The OSU women's team remains number 2, and they are 13-5-3. They are at home ice as well. They play at the OSU ice rink on Lane Avenue, and they play Bemidji State at 3 p.m. both days. I love that word, Bemidji. My friend's daughter said it to me and so that I could understand how to spell that, because the spelling throws your brain into a twist. Bemidji State, and both games are at 3 o'clock Friday and Saturday. Friday, free pizza for students, and Saturday, they're doing OSU beanies for the first 200 fans, and I just might go to that game on Saturday.
Oh, good luck.
Looking at high school hockey standings, CapitalHockeyConference.com offers you all you want to know about the current OHSAA teams. In the red division, it's still number 1, New Albany, followed by UA. They bumped up to 2nd. St. Charles, Olentangy Liberty, Olentangy Braves, and Cincinnati Moeller, followed by Olentangy Berlin. The white division has Dublin Jerome and Dublin Kaufman. They're basically switching back and forth. First, second, first, second. Olentangy Orange and St. Xavier round out those four. And then the blue division has Gahanna Lincoln and Worthington Kilbourne. Gahanna Lincoln scooped up number 1 this week. Worthington Kilbourne, Bishop Watterson, Thomas Worthington for the blue division. Looking at club hockey in the past week, the current standings for the Greater Columbus High School Club Hockey League. That's GCHSCHL.net if you want to see their schedule and go to a game. Varsity Gold is Dayton Gold, Hilliard Wildcats, the Miami Redhawks, and the Newark Generals. The Varsity Silver stands at Dayton Silver. Westerville Warcats jumped up this week. Northeast Storm, PHA Prowlers, and Athens Bobcats. And in the junior division, it's the Dayton Stealth, Newark Generals, Miami Redhawks, Hilliard Wildcats, the Irish Eagles, Westerville Warcats. Again, this is junior varsity. PHA Prowlers, Northeast Storm, Columbus Ice Hockey, and rounding out that group is the Dublin Irish. So kudos to all the kids that are playing in the club leagues as well, because you never know where they might end up someday in their hockey career.
That's why I said always keep an eye on those younger teams.
Even though it
may not sound as fun, as interesting as the NHL, but I'm telling you, keep an eye on those kids, because you never know, they might end up on your team.
You never know. And that's going to wrap it up for us for this week. We thank you so much for listening to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk, and have a great week and enjoy some hockey out there.